For 3 weeks now, we've been looking in the book of Jeremiah and listening to some very difficult prophecies. The times were bad, and they were only going to get worse. It's not like the people hadn't been warned. They had been warned again and again. But sin was just as deceptive then as it is today, and it's easy to convince ourselves that everything is all right and everything is going to be all right when it isn't. Not when we're not living in accordance to God's word. It wasn't going to be all right, and for the people in Jeremiah's day, things were going to actually get worse. So Jeremiah continues to describe in the book named by him, of the judgment that was going to take place, the judgment that was going to come upon them. And I tell you, Jeremiah is not an easy book to read. It's not a walk in the park. But then, and this is the exciting part for us this morning, we get to a message of hope right there in Jeremiah. And hope is the theme for today, the first Sunday of Advent. And we find a message of hope in Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning at verse 12. This is what the word of the Lord says. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without men or animals, in all its towns, there will be again pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The consequences of the people's rebellion was severe. The place had become desolate, without men or animals. It was essentially a wasteland, a dead place, no joy, no sounds of gladness, a barren land. The physical desolation was symbolic of the real problem, which was the deadness in people's hearts. That's where the issue really lied. And it's there, under those circumstances, that God speaks through Jeremiah and brings a message of hope. The message is that the place will come alive again. There will once again be flocks roaming the hillsides, shepherds checking on their sheep. There would be sounds of joy and laughter. There would be brides and grooms celebrating, voices of those who were giving thanks. Even though the days were dark and difficult, there were better days to come, and all of this would be to fulfill the promise that God had made. Verse 14, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to Judah and Israel. Now remember, these were written to a people who were living in very difficult times, and things were going to get worse. But what Jeremiah is saying, what God is saying through Jeremiah, is hang in there. Don't give in, don't give up, because there is a new day coming. There are better days ahead. And it's an important message. It's an important message to us because, well, we're in the middle of a difficult time. And when we are in the midst of particularly challenging situations, we generally assume that it's never going to get better. We find ourselves in a hard spot, whether it's a family matter or a work matter or a health matter or a financial matter or a relationship issue or something like that, and we think that it's never going to get better, that it's always going to stay that way, and we lose hope. We can't see how things could possibly change, and that's what despair does. If anyone had a reason to despair, it was these people in Jeremiah's day. But God never leaves us in despair. He always gives us hope. We read earlier in the service from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are hard pressed on every side. But it's not the end of us. And I don't know what is happening in your life today, but I can tell you that tomorrow is going to be a new day. Sometimes tomorrow doesn't come fast enough. I understand that. God tells the people through Jeremiah, even though they are in difficult days and they're going to get more difficult, God wants them to know that at a certain point, a new day will come. And I want to encourage you that we need to remember that as well, that a new day is coming. We must never give in to despair. We must always look forward with hope. And we don't have hope just as a wishful thinking kind of hope. We have a reason for the hope. We see it there in verse 15. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. I love the imagery that the Word of God brings us. You know, a sprout is a new beginning. It's connected to the old, but it represents something new, a new hope, a fresh start. When all other hope had faded and gone, and it looks like there's no more life, and we're at the end of the line, Jeremiah says that a new sprout will spring up. That there is more to come. This is virtually identical to the earlier prophecy from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. You might remember that Jesse, of course, was the father of David, who was the founding king in Israel's glory days. An eternal kingdom was promised to David, one that would last forever. But the people turned against God, they rebelled, the kingdom was divided, it started to fall apart. And that which was once great and had so much going for it had dwindled down to a stump. Israel and Judah became nothing, essentially a wasteland, a joke by all those who looked upon them. But what God's word is saying to them and to us is that out of that mess, out of those remains, that something new is going to spring up. And that something, of course, was a someone, Jesus, who came from the line of David. Out of the stump, a new hope would emerge. God would not forget his promises. They had to wait. We don't like to wait. This was being prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came. Generations would come and go before the fulfillment was clear. But there was the hope. The hope was there. Looking ahead. Not seeing what the outcome would be, but knowing that God is there for us. And that's the message of hope for us today, this first Sunday of Advent. Look again in verse 16. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. I find that very interesting. Even though the people were in a mess of their own doing, there's no one else to blame. It was their own rebellion that brought them to where they were. God is not about to leave them. He is not about to forget them. They are still his people. And as much as for us, when we've fallen away, when we've given into temptation, when we've turned our backs on God, we feel that we're done for, that we're separated from God and we're separated from his love, and that's the end of it. Sometimes we even surprise ourselves how easy it is to stumble and fall. But the message of God, again, through Jeremiah, is that in spite of themselves, in spite of their failure, in spite of their rebellion, in spite of their rejection, that God still loves them. That they are still dear to him. That he still wants to give them a new future. And not only does God love them, what's really astounding is what he says about them. That they, these rebellious people, would be called the Lord our righteousness. Now that is more than I can understand. It was just a few chapters earlier that the same words were used to describe the Messiah. The Messiah is described as the Lord our righteousness, and somehow what God is saying through Jeremiah is that a time will come that these very people who had stumbled and fallen and turned their backs and rejected him and rebelled against God, walked away, they would be referred to in the same manner that God himself is referred to. And like I said, I don't understand the full meaning of that and how that can be, but it rings a bell with God's word in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Where Paul writes, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's something going on here. Something incredible is happening. Well, we look back and we know that it's Jesus. We know it's the work of Jesus on the cross who bore our sin, our shame, our guilt, and made us a new creation. The people in Jeremiah's day couldn't see that, of course, but they had the promise of hope. We look back and we see that hope was fulfilled through Jesus, and hope will be fulfilled once again with Jesus's return. Beautiful message of hope right there in Jeremiah, where there's so much despair. I recently read the story of a young woman who enjoyed singing her praises to her Lord in church. But her story and her testimony was a difficult one. It was a story that was steeped in sin and struggles of life. In the past, she had been unfaithful to her husband, and as a result she felt terrible guilt, and she says to escape her guilt she would drink too much, and when she drank she lost control, and when she lost control she would usually take it out on her kids who got in the way, and then the guilt of that would be on her conscience and it would kind of start the cycle all over again. And unfortunately, hers was a story that is far too common in our world today. And yet there she was, singing the wonderful grace of Jesus, because her life, despite where she had been redeemed. She experienced the hope that Jeremiah spoke of. She received upon her the name, the Lord our righteousness, because of what Christ had done for her. And so the message of Advent is this, that God did not reject what is despicable, but seeks to make it special to him. Despite their unfaithfulness, despite failure, we can turn back to him. His grace is what gives us the courage to take our sins to him in confession and repentance. Those are so critical if we're going to have a new hope. And friends, that is what we have. That is the message of the gospel. It's a glorious message to a world that is so desperate for some meaning and purpose and hope and a future when so much is falling apart around them. And it's not just a restoration of our relationship with God that we have hope in. It's also the restoration of our relationships with one another, in the church, in your family, in your workplace. And so this morning, I'd like to close by simply asking you to consider, what is there in your life that needs hope? What is there in your life that needs a new future instead of the one that you are facing today? Take a moment and think about that. What is there in your life that needs hope? Is it a relationship? Is it something buried deep in your heart? A pain that you've been carrying around? Maybe it's your walk with the Lord himself. Maybe you've strayed so many times and so far, you feel like there's no coming back. And I want to remind you, as God's word reminds us, that our hope is in the Lord. His desire is to restore us. And so I encourage you, whatever your need is today, to come to him, wherever you are, however you are. I want to assure you that you will not be turned away from the Lord. And if there is a need in your life that feels like it's beyond hope, and you're at that place of despair today, I want to encourage you that God gives us hope. His presence gives us his peace, and he will see us through. Because even though today we go through a difficult time, God's word reminds us that tomorrow is a new day, and he can give us a new future and a new hope. That is the hope that we share with you today, a hope that does not disappoint us. And my prayer for each one of us is that whatever it is that we need a renewed hope for, that we will find it through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, today we come to you again, and I just really pray, Father God, that today, in the midst of so much mess in our world, and often, Lord, regrettably, so much mess in our own lives, whether it's a relationship, whether it's work situation, whether it's our walk with you, whether it's something else, Lord God, we need you. And I pray this morning, Lord, that if there's anyone here who is at a place of despair, of need in their life today, that even now they may be able to turn to you, that they may be able to call upon you, Lord God, and to know that you will meet them, that you will be with them, that you will redeem them, that you will redeem their future. Even though it's heading in a particular direction and it's not good, Lord, that you can give them a new hope, a new future, a new start, that you can bring your presence and your blessing upon them. Lord, give us the courage to come to you, to plead with you, to fall on our knees before you, to confess what we need to confess, to turn where we need to turn, to lift up our eyes to you where we need to lift up our eyes to you, Lord God. To go and seek forgiveness where we need to go and seek forgiveness and reconciliation. And Lord, to give it all into your hands. And Lord, we pray that your blessing, your presence, your peace would come upon your people as we do just that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.